silence. We remember 2020, 2021, going into 2022. Sometimes we would be on the road driving, and we were the only vehicle on the street. Death was everywhere around us. I remember when we would drive up to Potsdam to see Sky, especially Easter Sunday when we were going to pick him up. For miles, there was not one vehicle behind us. That's the time we lived in. And that's the time that God has brought us through. The silence is like death. The grave is silent. And so today, we are going to ask God, we are going to see how we interrupted that silence so that we can live. And I chose to speak from the book of Ezekiel, and I will touch on the New Testament. And before I begin, I'm going to give you a little background on Ezekiel. I'm going to read it straight from my Bible. It says, what's the big idea? God didn't exile the Jews primarily to punish them. God never has been, nor is he now interested in punishment for punishment's sake. Rather, he intended the punishment and judgment in Ezekiel's day as a means to an end, to bring his people to a state of repentance and humility before him, the one true God. They had lived for so long in sin and rebellion, confident in their own strength and that of the neighboring nations, that they needed God to remind them of his holy nature and their humble identity in a most dramatic way. And I'm going to stop there. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, as we open your word, O God, to hear what thus saith the Lord, open our hearts, our minds, O Heavenly Father, to receive your word, O God. And I pray, Lord, that your word will transform our lives. At whatever stage we are at, O God, we know you will meet us there. We seek transformation, O God. We seek betterment. We seek, O Heavenly Father, only to please you. So help us this day, O God, as we listen to your words and those under the sound of my voice, that, O God, they may take your words and they may meditate on them, and that it will bring change, O God, in their lives. Put me behind the cross, O God, and stand before me, Lord Jesus. Let me speak what thus saith the Lord, and let your words go forth, O God. And for all of this, I'll give you thanks and I'll give you praise. Remember our pastor, Lord, as she's away. God, may you guide her, may you keep her, may you uphold each and every one of them on that trip. And today, O God, may your word and your will be done. Amen. I will read to you again from chapter 37, verses 1 to 14. The Valley of Dry Bones. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" "O sovereign Lord," I replied, "you alone know the answer to that." Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the bones and say, 'Dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley, The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then, as I watched, the muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Speak a prophetic message to the winds, son of man. Speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath, from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again." So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become like old dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken." This is the story of the Hebrew people who were first in slavery in Egypt, and who God delivered by bringing them out of Egypt by way of the great Exodus. Now, God settled them in the promised land, holding true to his promise to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They are his chosen people. They are to have no other gods before him, to be his people and he their God. As in most relationships, if not all, between parents and children, there is rebellion, discipline, pardon, rebellion, discipline, pardon, and the cycle continues. So it was with the Hebrew people and Yahweh, their God. They turned to idol worship, they were disciplined. They repented, they were pardoned. This continued until God decided to take a more significant action to remove them from their promised land. And so, under God's direction, the nation of Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar carried out a siege, destroying the temple in Jerusalem, taking all the precious things in the temple, and those who survived the siege were banished from their land in the great deportation to Babylon. The book of the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a priest who had been living in Jerusalem during the first Babylonian attack on the city. And they spared the city, but took a first wave of captives and hauled them off to Babylon. And Ezekiel was among them. So the book begins 5 years after all that. And Ezekiel was sitting on an irrigation canal by the banks of his refugee camp in the community of El Abib. It was the year of his 30th birthday, at the age of which he would have been installed as a priest in Jerusalem. This was when he started to get his first visions from God. And now we are in chapter 37. The Valley of Dry Bones is a picture of hopelessness, a picture of dead, dry defeat. Sometimes God has to take us into a valley just to deposit a vision of faith inside of us. God had to pull Ezekiel from the current state he was in. If you are in a valley right now, sometimes God has to put you there and take you through that valley in order to put a vision inside of you to show you the potential that lies ahead of you. And so God takes Ezekiel to a hopeless place. And he shows him a valley of dry bones. This represents the nation of Israel. Israel at one time was a strong, undefeated army, feared by those near and far. When they came out of Egypt, under Joshua, they took down Jericho, They took Ai, they conquered the land. When they had Gideon, then Samson, then King David, they were unstoppable. But somewhere along the line, Israel lost sight of who made them great and strong. Their Lord God Almighty, Yahweh. They took their eyes off their God, turning to idolatry, disobedience, focusing on self. Now, through repeated disobedience, they are exiled and now depicted in the Valley of Bones. When God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I suspect this is a question we were asking in 2022 during the dreaded COVID-19 pandemic. We watched and we listened to the news, following the number of sick, the deaths, you name it. We couldn't have funerals, many were cremated. It's as if we were living Psalm 23, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, the valley of dry bones. The sanctuary was Nancy and Pastor and Chip and John, me, Angel, Ron, Zamzam. We were the choir. Zamzam, Pastor, Nancy and I, we were the choir, 6 feet apart. Ron and Angel were capturing on the little phone, on Pastor's iPhone, so those who were home could see the word, to hear the message. But hallelujah this day. Look at us. We can be gathered once more, and some still stay home to watch, but that's all right. We have come out of that valley of the pandemic, but this world is still like a valley of dry bones. Oh my God, we felt powerless, some felt hopeless, as Ezekiel felt. He responds to God, but he didn't answer the question. He just said, "Oh Lord God, you know." You know, I work with folks with mental disability, autism, the works. And I have a young man there, and when I say to him, and I will just say, "Dave, what's that thing over there? You know." I said, "I don't know. What is it?" "Oh, princess," he calls me that. "Oh, Princess Joan, you know." So Ezekiel said, "Oh, Lord God, you know." I can picture Ezekiel looking around and shaking his head at the overwhelming enormity of it all. God only knows if these dead bones can live. But when God says in verse 4, "Speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord." There's something rather ironic about this and humorous. You know, God has a sense of humor. Ezekiel was probably saying, "Lord, you don't mean that I should be speaking to these dry bones, right? These dead bones. These days somebody see you speaking to the bones, even to yourself, they'll say, he's losing it. The next thing you know, you're in the psych ward somewhere." So what a picture. What a picture that was. But Ezekiel was obedient. And in verse 5 he said, "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am going to put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord." Now God says, "I want you to speak to them and I will be the one that will give them life." In verse 5 he said, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and there was a rattling of bones." Imagine, you know, that them bones gonna walk around. Okay, they are rattling. Just imagine, bones against bone is friction. You know, sometimes people lose the cartilage in their knees and you could hear click, 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 the bones are rattling and it hurts. It hurts. Friction. And God is telling Ezekiel, oh, he must have been feeling funny in the valley of dry bones, seeing all these bones walking around. Pretty scary. Okay? And so, you know, God has a method here. In verse 8, when God says, oh my God, "Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones, and the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still have no breath." Okay, now there's a method. We see where these bones were scattered, dead and dry. Then they began to come together, a process. Not right away, but all you have is a corpse. A group of bodies with flesh like human, looking like human beings, but no life. Now, that's the picture that you have here. He was to speak, and there comes life. A picture of creation. Now, Ezekiel started with bones, but what did God start with? Dust, the dust of the earth, and he breathed life into it. And here we have three stages: scattered dead bones, coming together, flesh, skin, bones, but dead body. And on stage three, they are made alive. And verse 11, he said, then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. We are not talking about a church. And we are not talking about the great resurrection. We are talking about the people of Israel who were lost, who were without hope. He said, behold, they say our bones are dry. Our house is dry. They went out from one extreme. They went from one extreme to the other. One day they were great. Now they have been reduced to dead, dry bones, hopelessness. This vision is given to let them know there is hope. There is hope. In verse 12, God said again, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will open your graves. Hallelujah. Your graves of exile. He's going to open the grave. He's going to bring them back from exile. Okay? He's going to bring them back into the land. And I am going to turn right over to chapter 36. And I'm going to read something very quickly for you. When the Lord said to them, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. I am bringing you back, but not because you deserve it. I am doing it to protect my holy name. God has a reputation to protect. He said, on which you brought shame while you were scattered among the nations. He said, I will show you how holy my great name is. The name on which you brought shame among the nations. And when I reveal my holiness through you before their eyes, says the sovereign Lord, then the nations will know that I am the Lord. For I will gather you up from all the nations and bring you home again to your land. He said, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit within you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. And I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful of to obey my regulations. You see, so God wasn't doing this for Israel because they did not deserve it. After all that disobedience, many of us don't deserve it, but grace. Grace giving us what we don't deserve, and mercy not giving us what we deserve. Hallelujah. So, stage three is prophecy fulfilled. The nation Israel was buried and scattered in the world, but now, God is ready to bring them back. To bring them back all over the world. It is easy to focus on despair over the number of dry bones. But I also know that this is not the final story of God and God's people. So let's look on the 10 times God promises to do something about the dry bones. I will cause breath to enter into you. I will lay snooze on you. I will cause flesh to come upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you. I am going to open your graves. I am going to bring you up from your graves. I will bring you back to your land. I will put my spirit in you. I will place you on your own soil, back in the promised land. 10 times God promises life and wholeness. 10 times God promises return and homecoming. 10 times God promises that the dry bones of this valley are not our final reality. Throughout those 10 promises, at the beginning, in the middle, and the end, God says, and you shall live. You shall live. You shall live is the river of reassurance that flows through the valley of dry bones. Hallelujah. Amen. You shall live. God says it 3 times, and you shall live. And you shall live, and you shall live. The rattling sounds like faith. Believing that that wayward child, husband, sister, brother will come back to the Lord. Hope that broken relationships between family members, spouse, children will be mended. Love that will bind our hearts in unity. It sounds like courage and a refusal to be ruled by fear. It sounds like people praying Psalm 23. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In verses 13 and 14, God says, when this happens, oh my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live again, and you will return to your land. Then you will know that I, Jehovah God, I, Jehovah Rapha, I, Jehovah, hallelujah, I have spoken, I have done what I have said. While we ponder the question posed by the Lord to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's despair at seeing these dry bones, we are also reminded of another valley. This time it's the valley of the shadow of death, the death of Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, and beloved friend of Jesus in John 11, 1-45. They are disappointed that Jesus hadn't been there when their brother took ill and subsequently died. Mary said to Jesus, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you what you ask. What faith! When Jesus told Martha that her brother will rise again, she said, yes, he will rise. Everyone rises on the last day. Martha believed in the resurrection. So that when Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life, anyone who believes in me will live again even after he dies. And he said, do you believe, Martha? She answered, yes, Lord. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the one who has come into this world from God. But that's not what she was talking about. What Mary and Martha wanted right there and then was for Jesus to bring their brother back to life. They wanted that physical resurrection right there, right then, just like God was doing in Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones, performing a bodily resurrection of the nation of Israel, putting them back together, putting his spirit in them, breathing breath in them again, restoring a nation, hallelujah. As the singer Tremaine Hawkins said in the Potter's House, if you are broken, stop by the Potter's House. You are in your sins, whatever is going on, he said, stop by the Potter's House, because the Potter, Jesus Christ, wants to put you back together again. He wants to interrupt the silence of heartbreak, the silence of addiction, the silence of malice, the silence of unforgiveness, the silence of discontent in our families, with our children, our spouses. He wants to put us back together, put flesh in our bones, put life back in our dire circumstances, oh hallelujah. He wants to interrupt the silence, oh the silence will be broken. Hallelujah. This would seem like it's spinning out of control, but God can change. If we humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our wicked ways, yes, he can. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. He will interrupt the silence, my brothers and sisters. He will interrupt the silence, Christine. He will interrupt the silence, Sam, Ray, all of us. He will interrupt the silence. And we will live. We will live. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So just remember, our circumstances will not hold us down if we give them to God. If we say, Lord, take it. Come into my valley of dry bones. Put some flesh in it. Breathe some life in it. Hallelujah. Change my circumstances, oh God. You will live. I will live. We will live. Hallelujah. We want a revival. We have to invite him into our valley. We have to invite him into this valley of dry bones that we have. We have to shake it up.
and let him put some breath into it. Let him put some flesh on it, hallelujah. Or some flesh in our circumstances. Let him breathe new life into us, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, oh God, that today, Lord, your word has gone forth. Help us, oh Heavenly Father. Help us, oh God, to shake it up, to invite you, Lord, into our valley, oh God, our valley of dry bones, our circumstances, oh God, our heartbreaks, our fear, our sicknesses, oh God, our loneliness. Whatever, oh God, that silences, we are asking you to interrupt it, oh God. Give us life. Life anew, O God, so that we in turn can receive life everlasting. Thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you for your word, O God, that has gone forth. And may, O God, they return not void to you, O Heavenly Father, but that they will help in transforming lives. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Amen. Amen. Let us